This is a text I want to drill in your mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You're going to hear it more than once. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'd like to tell you about my Thanksgiving. It was a wonderful Thanksgiving. I had all four of my daughters home. I had three out of the four of my son-in-law's home, two grandchildren, and one of my oldest daughter's father-in-law and his wife spent Thanksgiving and spent the night with us. My thrill was, on Friday the next morning, we went down to Central Park and we played a game of touch football. All the girls, all the guys, we had it out and we had a good Thanksgiving game of football. And at the end, everyone, while we were congratulating each other, said, "This is going to be an annual event for us." That was so fun. This is a poem read by me at our Thanksgiving dinner to my wife. And I can imagine it's going to be a poem read by this little lady's family that I'm going to tell a story about. Thank you for inviting us to your Thanksgiving dinner. A day spent in your company is invariably a winner. Thank you for the time you spent preparing all the food. You make us feel welcome. You have our gratitude. I came across this little story and would like to share it with you today, and I can imagine this lady in this story had a nice meal for her family, and they said something similar to that to her. But this was the next day, Black Friday. She was out shopping. It was the afternoon. This lady was shopping at a local mall and felt the need for a coffee break. You know, you're pretty busy and running around that crowd. She bought herself a little bag of cookies, put them in her shopping bag, then she got in line for coffee. I mean, Postum. She found a place to sit at one of the crowded tables, then taking off the lid of her Postum and taking out a magazine, she began to sip her Postum and read. Across the table from her, a man sat reading a newspaper. After a minute or two, she reached out, took a cookie, as did the man. Sitting across the table, reached out and took one too. This put her off, but she didn't say anything. A few minutes later, she took another cookie. Once again, the man did too. Now she is getting a bit upset, but still didn't say anything. After having a couple sips of Postum, she once again took another cookie. So did the man. She was really upset by this, especially now since only one cookie was left. Apparently, the man realized that only one cookie was left also. Before she could say anything, he took it, broke it in half, offered half to her, and proceeded to eat the other half himself. Then he smiled at her, and putting the paper under his arm, rose and walked off. She was steamed. Her coffee break ruined, already thinking ahead of how she would tell this offense to her family. She unfolded her magazine, opened her shopping bag, and there discovered her own unopened bag of cookies. She forgot about Thanksgiving, didn't she? Just took one day to forget about Thanksgiving. I like that story. It makes me think of how well God treats me, even when I'm not treating him well or thinking about all that kindly about him. It also makes me think about how sometimes I do not really appreciate what I have or act like I know where it has come from. It serves as kind of a reminder to me of the Bible verse we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And that poem I read for the family on Thanksgiving Day kind of reminds you of that, doesn't it? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now Paul also says in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is Paul saying here? Number one, he's saying give thanks in all circumstances. Did this lady do it in all circumstances? Nope. Number two, give thanks for everything, even if you had to share your cookies with someone. Number three, give thanks at all times. And number four, give thanks to God. Why do we do this? It says right there, for this is the will of God. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you want to do this? Do you want to do what is the will of God for you? I do. Well, we better start right now giving thanks for everything in all circumstances at all times. Someone once asked this person, if you could be granted one wish, what would your wish be? Do you know what the answer was? When I was reading this, it really stunned me. I wish I could be given an even greater ability to appreciate all that I really have. Let me read that again. I wish I could be given an even greater ability to appreciate all that I already have. Do you know what that person is asking for? According to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he was asking for the will of God. Yes, to give thanks in all circumstance for what he already has. No, he didn't want any more stuff. That comes at Christmas. He just wanted the ability to be more thankful. Would you want to marry someone with that attitude? That motto? That is the type of a person my wife wanted to marry. I wish she could have married that guy. And that is the person that God wants us to be too. What do you think, or why do you think David was a man after God's own heart? He was going around doing the will of God, giving thanks and praises for what God did for him. Let me read some of his answers right here. Psalms 106, verse 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty doings of the Lord, or show forth all his praise? Psalms 145:10. All thy works give thanks to the Lord, to thee, O Lord, and all thy saints bless thee. Psalms 95:2. Let's come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let's make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Psalms 50:14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Psalms 150:6. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And Psalms 100, this is the whole verse, or the whole chapter. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. I could go on and on and on with text David wrote with praise and thanksgiving to God. He was doing the will of God. How about you? Do you have a faith that is thankful in everything? That is something to think about, especially that is something to think about when you consider the power of thanksgiving and how not only we are blessed or rewarded for it, but so is God and all those around us. Another question I on Thanksgiving is, who is more blessed, the giver or the receiver? You may want to say the giver. We all know the phrase in Acts 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But who is more blessed? The man who gave his last $100 to the mission lunch, or the starving man who was able to get nourishment from that meal and live? To me, that was the dual blessing, and both men are blessed. What about the man who gave a blood transfusion? He had plenty more blood left. Or the man that received it and beat leukemia? The real example here is Jesus, the giver of eternal salvation, versus the sinner who receives his eternal salvation. To me, it makes very clear to me, Jesus, the giver of salvation, is way more blessed than the one who receives it. But again, that is a dual blessing. What about our attitude on Thanksgiving? Is it important how we think when we give? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "For God loves a cheerful giver." If you give out of love, compassion, and caring, you will be blessed among the blessed because God loves you. Yes, God doesn't want us to give reluctantly or begrudgingly. I've done that before and I didn't even feel blessed. And I deserve that, not to be blessed. He wants us to give out of love for one another. Why did Jesus die for our sins? Why did he die? That we may have eternal life? Because he so loved the world. If you have thankful giving, you will be doing what God wants you to do. Give out of love like he did. The principal reason that God wants to bless you is not just because he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you to make you a blessing to others. So when you're saying, "Lord, bless me," you are not asking him to bless you so you can be blessed. He's blessing you so you can bless others. That is thankful giving. You have a heart inside you that is keeping you alive, and when it stops, you die. The reason it's working for you is because it is receiving and giving at the same time. It receives blood from one chamber and gives it out to your body. As soon as it stops either receiving or stops giving, you will die. In order for you to have life and have it more abundantly, you not only need to be receiving the blessing God gives to you, but he blessed you that you will have blessings to give. If Christ is in you, he wants to bless all others through your testimony of him. Have you counted your blessings lately? Psalms 103:1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits." This text is telling us to remember all the benefits that God has done for us. Celebrate Thanksgiving through thankful living. You can spot a person who has that for his motto. Do you know who they are? They are the ones who are suffering or having hardships, and you ask them how they're doing, and they say, "Oh, I'm blessed." They're the ones we know that are really struggling and say, "Oh, if it was getting any better, I wouldn't know what to do." They are the ones focusing on their blessings. A person who is happy must constantly employ and enjoy his blessings. He must thank the Lord for the good that you have. Does this come naturally? No, it doesn't. I want to point this out. You must train yourself to do this. We have an example. One is the 10 lepers that were healed, and only one came back to thank Jesus. I have a little saying here. What the other ones, what they said. One waited to see if the cure was real. The other one waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he had never had leprosy. One said he would have gotten well anyway. One gave the glory to the priests. One said, oh well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done it. And one said, I was already much improved. We don't want to be with those selfish kind of people. We want to be the ones that are thankful. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with blessings. Have you counted them lately? All the good things God has done for you? Let's start with thinking of His Word. What would you do without the Bible? The Bible is a guide, a comfort that gives us instruction, and it gives us inspiration. All the way from the beginning to the end, there is a blessing in the Bible. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed is he who reads, and those who keep the prophecy and the words therein. There is a blessing for everyone who reads the Bible. If you don't read your Bible every day, then you are leaving unclaimed blessings. Blessed are those who read and hear and keep. What is he talking about here? He's talking about the blessing of obedience. Why did God bless Abraham? Genesis 6:23 says, you will be dwelling in this land and I will bless you. Why? Because Abraham obeyed. He kept my charges and kept my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. If there's a blessing in obedience, is the converse true? Are there curses in disobedience? Deuteronomy 28:1 says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, and I command you today that the Lord will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Do you know what that really means? Picture a person running from a wave of blessings, the tsunami of blessings coming after you, and it overtakes you. How many of you would like to be drowned in that wave? He is promising you that if you do this, the blessings will overtake you. The devil has fooled us into thinking that sin will bring you happiness. Sin will not bring a blessing. Disobedience brings a curse. Obedience brings a blessing. Does God mean this, or is it an Old Testament promise? He blesses you with your obedience. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter the gates of the city. What are the best blessings? Are they money, food, clothing, physical blessings? Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. These are spiritual blessings. These are listed in Ephesians. They are being adopted as sons, accepted, redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, prudence. By accepting Christ's spiritual blessings, you will have a thankful living. Thankfulness seems to be a lost art today. To illustrate this point, I want to tell you about a young ministerial student from Evanston, Illinois, who was part of a life-saving squad. In 1860, a ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan near Evanston, and Edward Spencer waded again and again in the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted not one of these people he rescued thanked him. In conclusion, I'm going to list my top 10 things I'm thankful for. And then after that, I would like to pass the mic around and hear about your Thanksgiving blessings. Number 10, my house. There are many people in this world today who have no place to live. Many of them sleep on park benches and under bridges. Number 9, food. We always have plenty to eat at our house. Many people don't. Frequently, as I drive home from work, I see people standing beside the road holding a sign that says, "We'll work for food." Number 8, clothes. I never have to worry about whether there will be clothes in my closet for me to put on each day. Many people only have the clothes they are wearing. Number 7, health. I am thankful that I am blessed with good health. Many people have a serious illness which keeps them from enjoying a full and happy life. Number 6 is my country. I am thankful that I am living in a country where I enjoy freedom. In many countries, you don't have much freedom. In some countries, you can be put in prison or even put to death for telling others about Jesus. Number 5, teachers. I am thankful for the teachers I have had in school and in church who've taught me the things I need to know to live a happy and successful life. Thank you, Chantel, for the teaching you have done. And friends, I am thankful for many friends. In times of trouble, I have always had friends who were there to help me. Number 3, family. I am thankful for my family. God has given me a wonderful wife and 4 daughters, and many other family members whom I love very much. Number 2, parents. I am thankful to God that God has blessed me with wonderful parents who loved me, cared for me, and taught me about Jesus and His love. And number 1, I'm thankful for Jesus. Jesus is the number 1 reason for which I am thankful. No one ever loved me like Jesus. No one loved me so much that he was willing to die on the cross that I can have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Dear God, we come with thankful hearts, wanting to do your will, giving thanks for everything in all circumstances at all times. Sometimes it's hard and life deals us with things that we feel we shouldn't be thankful for, but we want to take after your instructions and to be thankful for everything, especially for the Son you gave us to have eternal life and the choice that we can make to accept it. In thy holy name, amen.